Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Amen. Thanks, Paula. Tony Defoe is in the hospital and he's watching right now, so I want us all to turn around and wave at one of the cameras.
Good morning, Tony.
Hey, Tony, we love you. God bless you, my brother. Pam says, good morning, Monsieur
Defoe.
Monsieur Defoe.
Monsieur Defoe. That's what I've called him for years.
With a French accent. Yeah. Amen. I want to welcome back Tom and Brenda Pierce. Where are you guys down here? Welcome back, Brenda. God bless you, sweetheart. And Tom, what a joy. So glad. Tom plays the trumpet up there for us. And wow, he's just, what a precious couple. We love them and we're so glad. Welcome home. We're glad you're here. If I can read my notes now, please help me, God, remember what I just wrote. Okay. Baptism this next week. We'll have a baptism. It'll be cold. We're going to put extra ice in the baptistry. Just to find out how serious you are, I think there's two to be baptized so far. If you've never been baptized since you were a believer, a lot of people were baptized as a child, but they didn't have any, you know, decision in that matter. And we believe in believers' baptism, so after you're a believer, you should be baptized. And if you have not done that or you realize that now and would like to, then just sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer at the information desk, and we'll get in contact with you this week, Pam or I, and we'll go over all the details, make sure you understand, and that'll be our joy to do that. Next week, we'll be having communion together, like it's the first Sunday of every month. We'll be having communion together, so there won't be communion tables there. We'll do it all at one particular time. I want to give a special shout out here to John Emmanuel, our precious brother here. Carol, his wife, just went to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, and we miss her. And his beautiful daughter, Kimberly, yes. Kim is here. Yes. And Kim, I just had something come to my heart. I'm just going to step out and take a risk and go. I felt like the Lord said to me after I sat back down here after we had communion, I think the Lord said to my heart for you to give you this word. He said, you are a flower bud, a flower bud. You're in preparation. You're about to bloom. You've had a long haul, a long hardship in your life. A lot of it was your own doing. But God is not mad at you. He loves you. Whew. And he has waited for this time in your life. And you are the flower bud that's about to bloom, full bloom, and it will be glorious. And God loves you dearly. That's what he said to my heart. And we got to do a couple of other things here. I'm looking for Josie and Esteban. Are you here, Josie? Come on up, Josie. Is Esteban with you? Esteban, come on down, brother. Bring baby with you. Come on down. Bring your grandbaby. Oh, yeah. Because that's very perfect. This morning, the Lord just gave a word, and I want you both here to hear this. And he gave a word specifically for you. This was Josie's birthday yesterday. And yay! All right. What a beautiful child. A happy, happy child. Wow. Pam, you need to deliver this. Oh, you had the word, so I want you to deliver the word. You shared it with me this morning. I didn't know if we were going to share it publicly or not, but I think we're supposed to do this. So why don't you share the word that God gave you this morning?
Okay, I know, don't make me cry either. But I was just having my time in the Word this morning, and you came into my mind.
Speak louder, honey.
And I felt like the Lord was saying, Esteban, you're the priest of your home, and you're a good priest over your wife and over your children and your grandchildren. And God is going to continue to use you to leave a legacy in all of their lives. So don't ever doubt who you are in Him. You're the priest. You're the leader this girl and everyone in your family. So you just continue to walk it out and fulfill that plan God's saying right over you right now. You're the priest and the leader of your home.
Now, if I can add a little bit what I remember you saying this morning, because sometimes we don't always remember. We weren't ready to write something down. But what I remember what you said from this morning was particularly, especially, you may not feel that way. You may feel like Josie's more of the spiritual leader. She knows more, and you look to her, and you listen to her, and that's all good and well. But God is calling you into what He has for you.
And what He sees.
You are His designated leader. You are the priest of your home.
Yes.
And Josie's been praying for you for this for years. And He's calling you. God
Hallelujah.
Always calls us not as we are at this particular moment, but what He's calling us to.
Ooh.
He's calling you to be a spiritual leader, Esteban. A leader, not only of your home, but in your neighborhood and in the world, in the workplace. And here in this church, He's calling you to be a leader. It's your time. Your time. So we just agree with you,
it's
God.
It's what He sees in you.
Yeah, we agree. We
Hallelujah.
Agree. And your generations will see that in you, and they'll say, I want, what's your name? Pop or Papa?
Papa.
Papa.
So ask him, who's that?
It's what?
Ask him, who's that?
Who is that?
Who's that?
Oh, it means, who is that? He's going to see that in you.
You couldn't hear it.
And he's going to imitate what you have. So praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. God has a way of getting you in the right place at the right time. Charlie, who sits right over here. This is Charlie. I don't know if you know Charlie.
Oh, we love Charlie.
He's a character. And he wasn't going to come to church this morning. He said he looked at the clock, and then he rolled over in bed and covered back up and went back to sleep. He said all of a sudden at 9 o'clock his phone rang. And he answered it, and it wasn't anybody on it. Well, he figured that out, Bob. He figured out it didn't just happen. God's telling me to get up, get my butt in church where I need to be. Praise God, brother. You recognize who the phone call came from. He didn't even have to say anything. He'd ring. Didn't even have to say anything. How about that? Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Please, come up, Miss Lee. Yeah, go ahead and say that, please. You don't have to come up. Okay. Look at a beautiful hat lady. Isn't that awesome?
Amen. Good morning to everyone. Just a little reminder that on Saturday at 10 o'clock, we'll be here in the grief ministry doing Surviving the Holidays. If you lost a loved one during the course of a year, even a couple of years, and this is the first time without your loved one, we just like to share some information. So if you would like to be part of it, we ask you to come out on Saturday, which would be November the 6th at 10 o'clock. Surviving the Holidays.
Wow, awesome. And while we're doing commercials, and we want to go down the line here, Sunday mornings, we have 8:30 service. It's actually two classes. Barbara teaches a class. What's your class being taught on right now, Barbara?
Well, I hate to say this, but the class is over.
Oh.
And the reason it is over, it was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would like to say that every single person that participated in that class got the Holy Spirit and tongues. So,
right,
thank you, Jesus.
Right.
So if we ever need that again, if there's any interest in that again, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I call it like, it's like now you have regular gas. In the Holy Spirit, you have premium.
Right.
So,
And boldness to be a mighty witness. All right, brother. You knew I was coming, didn't you?
Yeah. All the people who are going to Barbara's class are now invited to come over to my class.
It's not over. You it's thought not it over was yet. Over.
It's on the attributes of God, getting to know God through his attributes that are revealed in the Word of God.
That's awesome, too.
And the reason that we need to know God is so we can trust him.
Oh, amen. Bingo, bingo. And Richard, you know I'm coming to you, brother, so I know your mouth is dry now because you're getting nervous. Tell them what's going on Thursday.
Well, Thursday we're in a new series now with the Charis curriculum first year. And we're starting a series, The Basics of Righteousness, and we're on spirit, soul, and body. So it's an interesting and exciting thing to talk about.
And it will really help you tremendously to understand the difference between the spirit, soul, and body, because there's many places in the Bible you won't understand what God's talking about unless you understand that you're a three-part being, because God's a three-part being, and he created us in his likeness.
Exactly.
Amen,
yeah. 10 o'clock Thursday.
Amen. And everybody's invited. So much going on. Praise God. All right, got your Bible. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. There's a verse of scripture we're going to look at today. I've been waiting 30 years to preach.
Wow.
I'm telling you, 30 years. And I'm waiting 30 years because I don't understand it, and I'm just now starting to get it. It's a life verse for me personally. And the title of a message, if you need a message title, if you're going to write down a title, it'd be good to write down In Repentance and Rest. Yeah, that's how the scripture will start. In Repentance and Rest. In, it's very important. In, not with repentance, but in repentance and rest. And really, this is a designated goal that God has for our lives. Last week, we looked at the subject about trusting God. Trust God. God wants you to trust him. And as Bruce just said so much, the reason we want to know God is so we learn we can trust God. He's faithful. When he promises something, he delivers. And he wants you, wherever your walk is with him, wherever you are, people are at various levels. Even if you're just beginning to walk with God, or you're coming back from years of backsliding or whatever, wherever you are, God wants you to move up in him and trusting him and getting to know him and walking with him. And even when you get to the point where you can be led by the Spirit, that's where the adventure begins.
Ooh, yeah.
When you let God lead you where you'll take risk that you would not normally take. You know, Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. But that wasn't his first encounter with the Lord. He had many encounters with the Lord. He was walking with God for a while, and then he got to this place to where he trusted God enough, trusted Jesus. When Jesus said, you know, come, he actually stepped out on the word of God, and he walked on water for a ways. And then he got fearful, and he went down. And God mercifully, even though he made mistakes like we all do, God reached down and pulled him right back up. He'll do the same thing with you and I. Aren't you glad? We serve a God of such great compassion. Thank God he never quit on me. I would have quit on me a long time ago. I mean, what you see up here, you may think is impressive, but let me tell you, my history is not that impressive. Okay. If I were God, I'd have quit on me a long time ago. And I certainly wouldn't have made me a pastor. Now, you're all sitting there wondering, boy, I wonder what dark, deep, dark sins. That's none of your business. Praise God. Praise God. God has a vision and a purpose in mind for us, Carla. Each and every one of you are so precious. He has a vision, a goal in mind. I want you to go from here to here. And we all would wish, well, I wish God would just tell me. I used to pray that, actually, when I first got saved. God, I wish you'd just tell me what you want to do with my life. What do you want me to do? And the reason God just doesn't give you the blueprint and give you the whole map and say, here it is, there's the whole scroll of your life. It's everything I ever want to do. The reason he doesn't do it, because we take it and then we run out and try to do it.
That's true.
And that's not what he wants. What he wants is he wants that you have to depend upon him for this vision of your life to unfold a little bit here, a little bit there. And through an intimate relationship with him on a daily basis, you depending upon him, you trusting him, you learning to he's trustworthy, you learning to walk with him, that this vision for your life will begin to unfold. Wednesday night. I hope you'll come back out. I just started a series of teachings. It's going to take a while. I don't know how long, but part two about the vision of the church, but the vision of your life. What does God have in mind? What is His dream? What does He want? We all should be wanting to know what that is. What is God's will for my life? What is His plan? And he has a plan. He has a really specific purpose. And even, in fact, I believe I can be so bold to say right now, even a part, a microcosm of that purpose of God before you were even born is even this day, October 31st, 2020. He knew that you would be right here listening to this guy and God somehow speaking through him and speaking to you. Some way, somehow. How did God do that? I don't know. He's a God of incredible detail. If He can give an ant a nervous system and a brain, if He can have insects to have this kind of detail, then He certainly has detail for someone like you that He gave His own Son to die for. It's incredible. Not even a hair from your head falls to the ground without Him knowing it. That wouldn't be very hard for a lot of us, I know, but He knows details. So this plan that God has for you involves walking with Him, and it involves a relationship with Him. In fact, without this relationship with God, the plans and purposes that God has foreordained for your life will never come to pass. You can go on your merry way. You can't say, well, que sera, sera. It's going to happen if it's God's will. No, it doesn't happen that way. It happens because you abide with Him and you walk with Him and you go through difficulties, sometimes trials and things you don't understand here in life at that moment. But even through all of that, God is there. He wants to show you Himself. It's all about a revelation of Him to you that actually changes your life. It's not you changing your life, turning over a new leaf, or trying to quit this habit or that habit. That has part of it, but it actually is fueled by a greater revelation of your discovery of who God is. Your constant, ongoing discovery. Through all eternity, we're going to be learning more and more and more and more about God that we did not know. Because there's no end to knowing about God. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. What people do is important, but what fuels them is more important. Why they do what they do, why you do what you do, why are you here in church today, why do you read your Bible, why do you pray, why do you do what you do is more important than what you do. What's fueling this? That's really most important. And so when we begin to understand that, we're going to understand the context of the scripture we're going to be looking at. We'll be looking at Isaiah 30:15 in just a few moments. That's the main text. But you've got to see the context of where this scripture is written and who and what God was talking to. This is back in the time of Isaiah the prophet. This was thousands of years, or hundreds of years, excuse me, before the time of Christ. And the land of Judah, Israel, was divided into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. And each of them had their own kingdoms and different kings. The land of Judah, this is where the Isaiah the prophet, he was a prophet called to speak to the kings and the leaders of the people of Judah. At that particular time that this was written, the land of Judah was being invaded by the most powerful army in the world, the Assyrian army, the empire. They were conquering the world. And it looked like there was no stopping them. And they came to the Middle East, and Assyria wanted to conquer the land of Judah. Judah had a king by the name of Hezekiah. You may be kind of familiar with that name. And so it looked like it was imminent that Assyria is going to attack and going to overthrow the government, take the people into captivity, make them slaves, and conquer the land. So the king did what he thought was a good idea. He sent money and sent emissaries down to the land of Egypt. And Egypt had a very powerful army, a lot of horses and horsemen and chariots. And he paid the king of the Pharaoh of Egypt to come and help them fight off the Assyrian army. Really, it was his only hope. His hope was that if he got Egypt, he could pay them. They would come and be mercenaries and help them fight off this invasion. Maybe they could save the land. Seemed like a good idea. How many times does a good idea sound like a good idea, but you find out later it wasn't a God idea. This was not a God idea. This is not what God intended for the land of Judah. But we begin to see in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, this prophecy. Isaiah was a prophet. He heard from God, and he was given a message that he had to go deliver to God's people. And the prophet came to the king, Hezekiah, and he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not from me, who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk down to Egypt, and they have not asked my advice. They strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and they trust in the shadow of Egypt." So this was a severe warning. It was from the Lord through Isaiah, and he gave it to the king of Judah who had been making these plans. God is speaking very clearly. We don't have enough time to read all of it. It'd be good for you to read that whole chapter today and get the whole gist of the story. And then he comes to this particular verse that I saw this verse 30 years ago. And it leapt off the pages. In fact, I didn't even see it in the Bible first. I saw it painted on a sign or a picture. And I stopped in my tracks when I saw this. I was at a conference and I saw this painting, and it had this scripture on it, Isaiah 30, 15. And I knew at that moment God was speaking to me, but I didn't understand what he was saying. I knew he was pointing out to me, I want you to grab this verse. I want you to meditate on it. It's going to be a life verse for you. You're going to need this all of your life, but this is where I'm taking you. And the scripture says this, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." And this is the word Isaiah gave to the king. This is the word that God is giving to you today through the Holy Spirit, thousands of years later. "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, to you and me, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and confidence is your strength." This is what Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, who had already hired Egypt to come and fight for them. And he had warned him, "No, whoa, you need to stop in your tracks. You're going the wrong direction. You're putting your trust in men. You're putting your trust in the shadow of Egypt rather than putting your trust in the Holy One of Israel, your Creator, your Maker, your Provider, your Savior, your Lord, your God. You're trusting in other things. Maybe you're trusting in the medical God. Maybe you're trusting in the government God. Maybe you're trusting in the money God. Whatever it is, you're putting your trust in the wrong things. That's not your salvation. That's not your deliverance. That's not your way out. Your way out is supernatural."
Amen. Amen.
So, he gives him a warning in repentance, Gary. And rest is your salvation. That word salvation in the Hebrew is actually the word Yeshua, the word for Jesus. In repentance and rest is your Yeshua, is your Jesus, is your Savior, is your salvation, is your deliverance, is your healing, is your hope, is your help. In repentance and in rest, this is how you get saved. And then the manifestation of that will be a quietness and a calmness. Even when the world's largest army, the Empire of Assyria, is threatening to attack you, you will have quietness and calmness where people will look at you and say, "How are you not afraid?" This is God's plan. This is his goal. This is where he wants to take us. I'm trying to communicate this to you. And then we see Judah's response was in verses 16. After God promised that, if God said, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and confidence is your strength," and then here's their response. He said, God says to them, "But you would not." But you would not. Four sad, sad, sad words for people that are supposed to be God's people. But you would not. You would have none of it. Instead, you said, no, we're going to flee on horses. We're going to trust in horsepower rather than God power. And God says, okay, that's the way you want it. I give you free will. You make your own choice. That's fine. Therefore, you will flee. And you'll flee until you are left like a flag, just a single flag on the top of a hill. That's all that's going to be left of you. You want to go your way? Okay, I'll let you go your way. But it's going to destroy you. It's going to hurt you. It's not my plan for you. You want to go your way? I'll let you go your way, but it's going to go all the way. I'm going to let you get to the point where you're so diminished that there's nothing barely left of you except a flagpole on top of a hill. I'm not going to let them take your life. I'm going to let you be there to where you're stripped down to nothing, but yet I'm saving you. I got my hand on you. I'm going to protect you. The enemy's not going to be able to destroy you. There's going to be a little bit of you left because the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He's always longed to be gracious. I'm not trying to embarrass you. He's always wanted to be gracious to you. It was never him who caused bad things to happen to you. He's longed to be gracious. That was his heart. Oh, I want to do so much with that life. I want to do so much with you. I have places to take you. I have things I want you to see. I want to do things through your life, miracles, signs, and wonders just to make you have your jaw drop to the floor in awe and wonder. I got so much I want to do with you. And he waits. Sometimes God has to wait till you come to the end of yourself. Are you done yet? Okay, you got to wait. Okay. You're going to have to go back to jail again? Okay. You have to go back to prison? I'm talking about like my son. You have me? Okay. Okay, I'm going to wait until you become like a flagpole, a single flagpole. That's all that's left. It's okay. And then I'm going to have mercy upon you. It's going to make you cry like a baby. You're going to see my heart toward you. And though the Lord has given you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction. He didn't cause it, but he allowed it to happen because that's the way you chose to go. He didn't cause it. But though the Lord has given you the bread of adversity, he still gave you bread. He still gave you water. He still gave you the minimum so you could survive. If he hadn't done that, you wouldn't be here. You're still alive because of the mercy of God.
Amen.
Though the Lord has given you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, your ears are going to hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Go this way. And you'll walk in it. Yesterday I was over in Daytona with my granddaughter. We went to the pier to go fishing. We got out of the car and we got all of our stuff. We're getting ready to go into the Main Street pier and try to fish and have some fun. A lot of homeless people around there. A lot of homeless people. We stopped and talked to several of them. There's one in particular that really caught my heart. I don't know if it was a man or a woman, to be honest with you. I couldn't tell. Didn't matter to me. All bundled up. It's kind of chilly. Pitiful. Pitiful. Started a conversation with them, and I said, are you hungry? He or she, whatever, said, yeah. I said, I don't have any cash, I don't have any money, but I got some Krispy Kreme donuts that we stopped and got on the way. And I don't give these up for anybody, but I'll give them to you. I'd fight people for these things. But I have some. Would you like them? He said, yes. That's okay. So we gave him the Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, I said, can we pray for you? He's Started crying. Person started crying. I need a home. I need a home. I need a home. I said, what's your name? Told me. I said, can we pray? So we prayed. God prayed. Oh, God. Help this poor soul that needs a home. My heart's still heavy. Even this morning, I'm thinking, my goodness, that doesn't happen to me very often. And I want to ask you to pray for that poor soul right now. You don't know them, but God knows them. Pray, cry out for them right now, just out loud. Cry out for God. Give them a home. Give them a supernatural way to get to a safe place, a safe shelter, a safe place, a home, a home, a home, whatever that is, God. Give them a home. They need a home. We know you hear the cries of your children, so we, on behalf of this soul, cry out, God, give them a home today. Make it happen now, God, to the glory of God, because we pray and ask you in the merciful name of Jesus, and we thank you. And so though the Lord has given you, God says, the bread of adversity and the water and the waters of affliction, your eyes, your ears are going to hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then, notice, in other words, you're going to have to go through some hardship. And it's not because God's angry with you, it's because God's merciful to you. I've got to let you come to the end of yourself. I've got to let you get to this place where you don't have anything but bread and water. I've got to get you to this place where you're finally stripped down of your prideful self and your selfish ways. I've got to get you here. It's the only way I can save you. And you're going to get to this place where you, now you, not me, you are going to defile your graven images, those things that you trusted in, those things you look to for comfort, those things that you look to help you deal with life and the hurt and the pain that's inside your heart that's been there for a long time. I'm going to give you the point, that I'll get you to the point where you're going to take those graven images and you're going to destroy them. You're going to say, no more. I ain't going back to that. That is done. That is out of my life forever. You're going to destroy those molten images. And you're going to treat them like they really are impure things. And you're going to say out of your mouth, be gone! Don't come back here. You're going to say that to the idols and the images that you used to run to, that you actually kind of worshiped and depended upon, trusted in, rather than God. Back to Isaiah 30:15. And God's saying to his people, he's saying, this is my goal for you. My goal is this, in repentance. Not with repentance. When Pam and I were first dating, and I was smitten, and my heart was, I could tell I was not just infatuated with her, but I began to love her. And I could tell, I just like, I never had this for any other girl. Only had one other girlfriend in my life, and her name was Pam too, but she was just a shadow of Egypt. And so when Pam and I were teenagers and we're dating, I knew there just came a point where I had to express, I love you. So come up here with me. You're going to embarrass you for me. Come here. So finally, we were in the car somewhere.
No, we were on the beach.
Oh, you remember. We were on the beach. And I looked at her and I said, Pam, I love you. And she didn't say a thing. I said, I love you. And now you can see there's a question mark at the end of it, like I'm expecting a response.
And I gave one.
Wait, don't say one. Yeah, I said, I thought maybe she didn't hear me. I said, I love you.
I said,
go ahead and say it. in my microphone.
I like you a lot.
Honey, that's what she said. She said, I like you a lot. What is I like you? I said, I love you. And you said, I like you a lot. That's not even on the same ground. What's wrong with... I mean, I was cut down. And she went on to explain, I've got something about I don't want to say the word love until I know it's really love. But I really like you. And I was great. In repentance, not with repentance. It's like being in love, not with love. When you're in love, it's a state of being. You're in it. Things look different, feel different. You're in love. And God did not say with repentance to his people. He said in repentance. In other words, it's a constant state of being. Repentance means to change your mind. It means change. And God is calling his people to live in repentance. It doesn't mean it's always bad things you're repenting of. It just means changing. You're constantly changing. You're going from this level to this level. Spiritually, you were down here on milk, but you don't stay on milk for 30, 40 years. You go to the next level of meat. And then you go to strong meat. You mature. You're maturing. You're not 50 years old now and acting like you did when you were 1 year old. You're different. You've matured. And the same way in repentance, God is saying, my relationship with you is one of constant change, of maturing, becoming something other than you are at this moment. 365 days from today, you will have matured more than where you are right now. Or something's wrong. And God says, in repentance and rest. Repentance and rest. This is your salvation. Remember last week I shared with you just a little bit and we got moving really fast, so maybe you don't remember, but in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John showed us the different levels of spiritual maturity. He named three of them, but we all start out as little children. Everybody has to be born again. You have to be a time in your life where you're born of the Spirit of God. Then you're a child, a baby, an immature baby. It's a level of maturity where you first discover forgiveness. Wow, I'm forgiven. I'm really forgiven. God has forgiven me. And you're at that child level. You understand forgiveness, and then you know God as your Father. You begin to call him Heavenly Father in prayer. But you don't stay there. You mature, and you go change. You repent. You change. You mature, and you move into the part of becoming a young man, the Apostle John said. And the young men are men, he described them as, they learn to overcome the evil one. They learn spiritual warfare. They learn how to resist the devil. They recognize the enemy is in the world. They learn how to overcome by using the word. They become strong in the word of God. They're doers. But there's a third level. This is where God wants you to go. This is the goal. This is the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm going there. This is my goal. The prize of the high calling. And that is to be a father, not necessarily of more children or disciples. A soul winner is not necessarily a spiritual father. A spiritual father is a spiritual level of maturity of the Father. It says twice there in 1 John chapter 2, it says, I speak unto you, fathers, because you've known him. You've epignosis. You know him intimately and accurately. You've known him who is from the beginning. You know God. You know, not know about God. You know him by revelation. You walk at a level of maturity where you have learned to trust God. And you rest in his rest. you enter his rest. All God's works are completed, and you enter in believing, trusting. Hebrews 4 says, labor that you might enter that rest. Keep moving and maturing and changing so you get to that place of spiritual rest like a father who knows God. I know God from experience. We have history. He's healed my body. He's provided miraculously for me. He's cast out demons through me. He's done things through me that I stand amazed at. You finally reach that place as spiritual father. Very few people, very rare. And I shared with you last week, I don't think I'm there yet. I think I've just dipped my toe on the edge of it. It's been 30 years. Not that it would have to take 30 years, because God can accelerate things in your life. But it's 30 years I've been soaking on this verse, this one verse. It's become a life verse for me. I chew on it. I can continue to get the nutrients out of it and go, oh my goodness, God, it's overwhelming. And so the goal of repentance is not just to stop bad behavior. That's like a little child. The goal of repentance, where God wants his children, where he wanted Hezekiah, he wanted the people of Israel. I want you to get this place of in repentance, living in this state of maturing and changing, and then rest. I want you to get to this place of maturing so that you can enter my rest. And because it's here, this is your salvation. This is where you manifest the life of Jesus. This is where you glorify God. This is where the light of God finally shines through your life in adversity or whatever you're going through, because you're manifesting that you trust God more than government, more than money, more than anything, and you'd lay down your life if God said to do it. You trust him that much. You manifest Yeshua. You manifest salvation. In repentance and rest is, this is your salvation. You manifest it. Wow, this is when you finally shine. This is when you're glorifying God. There are two Greek words in the New Testament for child of God. The first one is a Greek word called technon. And the word technon in the Greek means a child. It could also mean a young man, like in 2 John, 1 John 2. Still immature. But God's goal for you is not just to get born again, not just to be a child of God and wait till you get to heaven for the rest of it. No, his goal for you here on the earth is that you would move to the second word, which is a huios, which is a mature son of God. Let me illustrate this way. You would never give a little child a butcher knife and say, hey, cut up this meat, because they're immature. But someone who was mature, an adult, you say, here, take this butcher knife here, it's very sharp, and cut this meat, slice this up. You could do that because they're a son. The difference, night and day. There are things that God wants to do in your life and through your life now for such a time as this, 2021, and especially in 2022, and then in 2023 if we're still here. But things have got to accelerate in your life so that you are no longer a technon, but you become a huios, one who is a mature son who can be trusted with miracles, signs, and wonders, and great things. And the number one key of identifying a mature son. Not necessarily even at the spiritual fatherhood, but he's overcoming, he's getting there, he's moving there. The number one key is Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, 16 says these, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the huios of God. The mature sons. Ones that know how to be led by the Spirit. See, we all start out somewhere spiritually. When you start out spiritually with God, you first encounter God, or you encounter love. That's what God is. That's his nature. And you encounter him, and you're overwhelmed by him. And you start to love God because he first loved you. But then you start to walk with God. Baby steps, but you start to walk with God. You're reading your Bible and you try to avoid sin and this and that, but you try to walk with God. But that's not, there's more. You keep going. And then you continue to mature and mature to the point where you learn to trust God. You wait when you go, I can really trust Him. His word really is true. It really works. And then you begin to trust Him in certain areas. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you get an answer to prayer, whatever it is. And you begin to trust God. You go, wow, I can trust God. And then you get to this level of where the adventure really begins. It's where when you begin to let God's Spirit lead you, and He begins to lead you, and you are sensitive to His Spirit on the inside. And when He says, stop and do this, or go do that, or do that. You go do it, and that's when the adventure begins, because now you're being led by the Spirit. Man, you talk about fun. Every day is an adventure. Every day. There's no coincidence. The people you meet, the places you go, the people you talk to, the things you experience, it's all an adventure, because now you are trusting God to lead you. For as many, get that scripture back up, please. For as many as are led. Everybody say led.
Led.
God wants to lead you. He's a shepherd. You're the sheep. You need a shepherd. If you're not led by the shepherd, who are you led by? You. You trying to take God's place? Are you trying to take God's place? Say no. I want God to lead me. I need God to lead me. So I need to learn how to be led. That's not just for preachers, evangelists, and people up here like this. It's for everybody. Randy, God wants to lead you. Jose, God wants to lead you.
Amen.
And you've experienced some of that. But there's so much more on a daily basis. Woohoo! What an adventure. Man, God would lead me. Let me tell you how this is going to happen. How will I know God is leading me? How will I know I'm being led by God? How do I know the Spirit is leading me and it's not just me? Good question. Bible trivia question. You ready? 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 I'm not just speaking to 5 or 6 people. I'm speaking to everybody. And you at home was watching. Well, I'm speaking to you. I can hear you. Not really. Bible trivia question. Here it is. What famous chapter in the Bible is this particular verse that you're familiar with? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What chapter? Just tell me the chapter. Don't you know the answer? Don't tell me. What chapter in the Bible, famous chapter in the Bible, is this verse?
The love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
Boy, you guys are smart. You guys in the back who don't know, you need to sit down closer to the front, because these are the really smart people down here. No, I'm just kidding. It's the love chapter. I don't know if you get the connection yet. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I did everything as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Of all places in the Bible for that to be, it's in what's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind, love is patient, love bears all things. You know, the things that we read it at marriage ceremonies and hope people are going to do. It's in the love chapter. Here's the point to put all this together. It's in the love chapter because the only change or maturity in your life and my life that will ever last has to be fueled and motivated by a revelation of God, who is love. You got to really chew on that. I just saw that this week. The only change, if you're going to have any lasting change in your life, the only real repentance for you, you can say, oh, I'm going to promise never to do this again, and next thing you know, you wind up doing it before even the sun goes down. But the only lasting change in your life from anything has to be fueled, motivated by love. I said at the beginning of this message, I don't know if you remember, what people do is important, but what fuels them is more important. What's fueling you? I want to change. What's fueling that? Just because you want to change, that won't last very long. 6 months if you're really disciplined, but then you'll give up. How many diets have you started? We don't want to talk about it. Right, I understand. Fueled by love. Has to be motivated, fueled by a revelation of love. Now, don't fade out on me. I know you're getting ready to go eat lunch. Don't fade out on me. Pay close attention. Here comes a zinger. Get ready. Say, I'm ready for a zinger. Very important. Here's a zinger. It'll go right past you if you don't get your mitts up. Ready to catch it. Okay. A revelation of God who is love. That's what I need. Ephesians 3:16, the Apostle Paul was praying the prayer that I prayed this morning over you at the beginning of the service. He said, I pray that God, that you, church, would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. I pray that you would know, comprehend the love of Christ, which is incomprehensible. You can't know it. How do you know the love of Christ, God, if it surpasses knowledge? By revelation. Amen. Revelation of the Spirit. Yes. Yes. God gives you revelation that your mind can't even comprehend it. But you get a revelation in a moment. The Spirit drops something down in your heart. Your heart is open to receive from God. You get a revelation of something you could not even thought of. It wasn't even on your radar. It was nothing you even thought of before. It is a revelation like an atom bomb going off in your heart. A revelation that God gives you. Just like Jesus said to Simon Peter. Who am I to you, Peter? And he said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't learn this out of a book. But my Father gave you this revelation. And out of your heart you speak. Revelation. You know this love of Christ only by revelation of God. God gives it to you because your heart is open. And you're praying, maybe this prayer, this ought to be your prayer. God, give me a revelation of the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that I might be filled with the fullness of God. How can a person be filled with the fullness of God? God! The fullness of God? Yeah, the fullness of God means you're overflowing. My cup runneth over. I have so much abundance. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything I need for life and godliness has already been given me. I have an overflow. I live out of an overflow. I have an abundant God. Everything that God requires, I have an abundance to give. Revelation will change the way you walk. Change the way you deal with people. In my journal on October 26th, just last week, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, shocked me. He said these words, I want you, Gary, to mature in love. not focusing on doing more, but being in rest by knowing me out of personal revelation and resting in me. The walk of love that Jesus walked on the earth is a word that he gave us in John 13, 34, and 35. He commanded us. He commanded those who are his followers to walk in the commandment of love. It's not an option. These are the words of Jesus. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can do this as you depend upon the Spirit of God. I want you to walk in this commandment of love. What is that? This love is laying down your life like Jesus. Whatever God calls you to do, you can do it. It's not a problem. It's not hard if God calls you to do it. You have grace upon your life to do it. It's not difficult because there's grace there to do it. The question is, will you? I'm asking you a question. Asking my, will you? Will you? You don't need to give me an answer. And this love of the commandment of love that Jesus gives us commands us to forgive quickly. No matter what they've done. Well, God, that's not fair. God's a God of justice. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. That's none of your business. Love forgives quickly. Let me ask you a question. Will you? Will you? It's your choice. Love serves gladly. God interrupts your schedule, wants you to go help somebody, wants you to go do something, but you had plans. Love serves gladly. Question, will you? And this love, which is God, wants to lead you. He wants to lead you. He'll not force you. He wants to lead you in everyday affairs, little details. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but the question is, will you? Starting right now, this very moment, will you let God lead you? You say, oh, that's risky. No, that's adventure. That's fun. What if I make a mistake? You will. What if I do something thinking God's leading me and I find out it really wasn't Him? You will. But it's okay. You're maturing. You're learning. It's okay, Richard. You messed up. It's okay. Get up. Let him lead again.
Where are we going?
Where are we going, God?
That's right. That's a good question. Where are we going?
Everybody's got to have a starting point. Okay, I'm going to land a plane. So everybody go, boy, I'm glad this one's over with. I'm going to land the plane. We're coming down. Fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be landing in Wildwood just shortly. Maybe. Everyone needs a starting point. Boy, you really believe me. Praise God. I got another hour to go. A lot of turbulent winds up here. We're going to have to circle the airport several times.
She'll just flow with the wind.
Just go with the flow. Everyone's got to have a starting point. And then a maturing. You're maturing. You're growing. You're maturing. We're all maturing. So you start with a walk in love. Today, your assignment is to walk in love, the love of God. Walk in that. I forgive quickly. You know, whatever that is, your walk looks like. After your walk, you start walking, you mature, and you're going to come to the place where you trust love. You trust God. He's going to challenge you. He's going to give you a little nudge to do something, be something, or help somebody, or do something, or whatever. You're going to, okay, you trust God. Whatever that may be. And then you're going to keep going on with God, and you're going to know the joy of spirit being spirit-led. You're going to start living in Romans 8:16. You're going to become the mature son that God's been waiting for all your life for you to get to this place where now that you can, you've learning and you're learning to let the Spirit of God lead you. That's what a mature son looks like. Mature son and daughter. You're letting God lead you. Wow. You're going to have story after story after story. You're going to have to write books to tell your life story because it's going to become so amazing that only God could do this. You've got to tell people. So you start. You've got to start somewhere. So wherever you are, you start. Now I'm going to land a plane. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, God had a plan. He knew fully well what was going to happen. Adam and Eve, he gave them a perfect environment. Everything they could have ever wanted was in reach. Just one thing, just that tree in the middle of the garden over there, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. But you got everything else you could ever want. You got abundance. You'll never run out. You'll never starve. You got it all. Thank you, God. Enter a lying snake. Comes in the garden. He's talking to them. Animal, snake, talk to Adam and Eve. Hey, you know that tree God was talking to you about? Yeah. You really should take a taste because there's so much more. He's really holding out on you. There's really so much more. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come on. Why do you think God called it a knowledge? You want knowledge? Try it. Look at me. I'm still alive. It ain't going to hurt you. So you know the story. They do. Soon as they ate of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, God had told them previously, the day you eat of that is the day you die. They don't even know what death is. They'd never seen death. Animal had never died. A tree had never died. They don't even know what death is, but God said, the day that you eat of that is the day you die. They ate of it. They're still standing. They're still breathing. What changed? But then the next time they heard God's voice coming in the cool of the garden in the middle of the day like he normally did to fellowship with them, they, for the first time in their life, they wanted to hide from God. Oh, no. Oh, no. No. We don't want God to see us like this. They never did that before. They quickly tried to grab some salad and cover themselves. Because they felt ashamed. They never felt naked. Now they felt naked. They felt embarrassed. They felt shame. They felt fear. They never felt that before, ever, ever. Something has changed. Something died. What was it? I don't know, but God's here. We can't let him see us like this. We're afraid of him. They felt guilt for the first time. They felt shame for the first time. God says, what have you done? He knew. They blamed game back and forth. God knew what happened. And he says, come here, silly children. That salad ain't going to last very long. What do you get out in the sun? You'll find out. Come here. And he took them over, and somehow or another, he got a living animal. And for the first time ever, they saw death. God killed that animal some way. Blood was spilled. They never saw blood before. The horror, the shock, God did. He killed one of his creation. He killed an animal. And he took the skins off of these animals. The blood is there. They're seeing the horror of an animal that was alive, that they fellowshipped with, that they probably knew. And now the animal is dead, and the carcass is there, and God takes the skin, and he perfectly makes clothing that perfectly fits them and that can cover them so they don't have to feel ashamed. They don't have to feel embarrassed. They don't have to feel uncovered. He covers them. Love covers them. And from this moment on, they start a sacrificial system. God says, I've always wanted oneness with you. I created you for myself that we have fellowship. Now you've disobeyed me. You've showed you not trusted me. And now you're going to live in a fallen world. It's not the way I intended this world to be. I never intended this world to have all the crime and sickness, illness, disease, and cancers, and horror, and terrorists, and all that. That's never my plan. But sin has terrible wages. So a sacrificial system was started. They were taught how to bring sacrifices to God so that it would be a way that they would show they believed that that God was good and what God said was right and that God was bringing atonement or at-one-ment back them with him. Again, they could have fellowship with God. And so for thousands of years, there was a sacrificial system. And then men were taught that you had to bring a lamb and you had to slay it. You had to cut its throat, pour out the blood, and you had to pour it upon the mercy seat and the high priest. All that religious system came about because of all of that. Until one day, the Lamb of God, God himself, took on the clothing of a human being without a sin nature, stepped into the world for the purpose of laying his life down. He went to the cross, and on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." Laid down his life. The innocent for the guilty. Just like the animal was innocent, they saw the horror of what sin costs. The innocent, the guilty for the innocent. Now the Lamb of God, the innocent for the guilty of the whole world. It is finished. And at that moment, there were no more sacrifices. You never brought an animal sacrifice after that moment. To this day, you don't bring animal sacrifices to God. That's not acceptable. God doesn't want an animal sacrifice. He has given the sacrifice, his only son who died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. And you don't have to go to the temple anymore like they were taught. You got to go to the temple. You got to go to the tabernacle. You don't have to do that because now if you're born again, your body is the temple. He lives in you. You are the tabernacle. And he wants his tabernacle. He wants you and me to manifest his glory to the world. Because people think God lives in this building. That's God's house. He wants you to get to the place of fatherhood where you're in repentance and rest, where you're at this spiritual level, where the glory of God's being manifested in you because you've lived in repentance and change and maturity, because you're getting to this place where you enter his rest. You trust God at such a level that his glory, his light manifests from your temple or your body, and people look at you. And the same thing when Peter said, God, just show us the Father and that'll suffice us. And Jesus said these words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's what God's goal is for you and me. He wants you to be able to see. When someone says, if I just see Jesus, I believe him. They want you to be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Amen. He's right here. If you've seen me, you've seen him. The same Jesus. It's not an alternate Jesus, not a lower than Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If you've seen me, Richard, you've actually seen Jesus. You see him. You see him. So if there's any goodness emanating from my life, it's because he's in me. If you're getting love, you feel like, oh, Pastor Gary's such a great guy. No, you don't really know Pastor Gary. It's the goodness of God that's doing that. Yeah. He's in all of us, but not everybody who hasn't been born again, he's not in. Not everybody is a child of God. You must be born again of the Spirit. Jesus said that. Now, you're a child of God as far as his creation, but you're not a born-again child of God, and you're not going to heaven until you're born again. So there needs to be a time in your life where you not just believe, because the Bible says demons in hell believe, but where you receive and say, Jesus, come on in. Live in this, your temple. Take the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my God, my Savior. Today is my birthday. Today, come in and birth me again by your Spirit. Live in me forever. And then you grow from a child to a young man. And hopefully you'll make it while you're here on earth to fatherhood, where you know him and you rest. You don't panic. You don't worry. Wow. Okay, I see you're tired. I'm ready to see you nodding out. I know you're kind of, that's about all you can handle. It's okay. It's all right. Hang on. A little bit rougher landing than I expected. I want to thank you today for flying God Airlines. I hope you'll come back. Fly with us again next time. And we'll go to higher heights and newer levels. And wherever you are. Oh, thank you. Wherever you are today, there's always more. If you've never entered into receiving Jesus, or you're not sure you're born again, then I would love to talk with you, pray with you. Now, we have elders and altar workers are going to be right up here right now. Why don't you come up here and join me? Put a wonderful smile on your face like you're ready to greet, welcome people into the kingdom of God. And if there's anybody here who hasn't been born again, or you're not sure, maybe you're confused about all this stuff, come up here and talk to people about it. Be honest. Say, I don't know if I am or not, or I want to be. And just settle the issue once and for all today. Be born again, because Jesus said you must be. Don't be a religious person. Be born again by the Spirit of God. And maybe most of you are, you've already had that opportunity, then you ought to pray for those around you who you might discern need a little nudge, need a little help. Maybe they need a little encouragement. Say, hey, I'll go up here with you if you want somebody to go with you. Don't be afraid. Maybe there's other things going on in your life that you need prayer about. Prayer is a powerful, powerful weapon. Powerful weapon. But it's no good unless you use it. So these people over here ready to pray with you. Look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Wow. I'd come up to you and talk to you. I'm not afraid of you. I'd come up and talk to every one of you. You're so loving. Wonderful. Let's stand together. Father, I have delivered your word the best way I know how. I know it could always be better. But I've delivered your word that you gave to me. And I'm trusting you that you will cause the outcome to take place right now. That today, someone who's not born again will be born again. They'll receive Jesus. And others, Lord, who are born again, they will take the next step or commit themselves to growing toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Father, that this church will produce many, many, many spiritual sons and daughters who will move on to fatherhood. May today be the day we enter in repentance and rest, which is our salvation, and manifest quietness and confidence because you're in charge and we trust you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, and let everybody say, amen. Amen. If you're a visitor, please be sure to stop by the visitor table and receive our gift. Come back Wednesday night. We'll be talking about the vision of the church and the vision for your life. We're here to meet you, pray with you, love you. God bless you today. Amen.